Hey there, it's Michael Costa from The Daily Show on Comedy Central. Ever wonder what happens behind the scenes or want to catch some extended interviews? Well, now you can. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition podcast for full episodes, extended content, and a whole lot more. The Daily Show, Ears Edition is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Tomorrow marks three weeks since Putin invaded Ukraine. And the Russian military still remains bogged down, so they've changed their tactics to just unadulterated terrorism. Now, the Kremlin denies that they're targeting the civilian population directly, but Kyiv mayor and former heavyweight champion Vitaly Klitschko politely disagrees.
Putin says he's only targeting military targets. Bull. Sorry.
No need to apologize, champ. And with Ukrainian cities, especially Kyiv, under constant attack, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky gave a virtual address to Congress this morning. Now, if you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. The ultimate thrust of Zelensky's appeal was to thank Biden for what he's done so far, but also to call on Biden to do much more. And for that call, he switched to English.
As the leader of my nation, I am addressing the President Biden. You are the leader of the nation, of your great nation. I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace. Thank you. Slava Ukraini.
You know it was a powerful speech when that many old people jumped to their feet. There are knees in that room that were alive during the Roosevelt administration. And in response today, Biden announced $800 million in new military aid to Ukraine. That is remarkable, not only because of how fast he moved to get them what they needed, but at no point did he use the phrase, "I would like you to do us a favor, though." Now, the aid package includes more of what we've already been giving the Ukrainians, including Javelin anti-tank and Stinger anti-aircraft missiles. And if that doesn't work, we'll bust out the most potent weapon in the American arsenal, the T-shirt cannon. Oh, yeah. You watch yourself. You watch yourself, Vlad, or we will pelt you with Mets crew necks that are all XL. Now, see. Later. Let's earn it. Watch where you point that. Russia has been desperate for supplies and weapons, and they were just dealt another blow today when it was announced that Queen Elizabeth will no longer lend Moscow three ancient swords. That has got to be the most British sanction of all time.
Vladimir Putin will no longer be receiving any bejeweled rapiers, nor shall any of his cream be clotted. And young Russians in need of discipline and love will have to do without flying nannies and chimney sweeps. Chim-chim-a-you!
Lots of companies have pulled out of Russia, but one American franchise is staying. 190 Papa John's restaurants in Russia are still open and selling pizzas. That's crazy. They call Papa John's a restaurant? Now, the brand is suspending corporate operations, but the vast majority of the franchises in the country will keep cranking out the salty bath mats they call pizza because they're primarily owned by Russians. That's right, they're so Russian, they've even updated the slogan to better ingredients, better pizza, just kidding, is potato. There you go. Wow. I think that landed over in the Winter Garden. The head of the American company which oversees these Russian franchises explained why they've decided to keep operating, saying, "The vast majority of Russian people are very clear-headed and understand the dark gravity of the situation they're in. At the end of the day, they appreciate a good pizza." Adding, "Unfortunately, we serve Papa John's." But yesterday, Russia suffered the most painful loss of all because my beloved parent company, Paramount, has announced plans to suspend operations in Russia. That's right, Russia!
Yeah! Uh-huh. Get out of here. Come on, get it. Get it.
Show you them. Step out of line and the good people of Paramount will snap into action a couple of weeks after we make sure everybody else has done it. We just don't have a very good signal up on the mountain. We didn't know what was going on. And I gotta say, I think this might be the thing that ends the war. Putin's bound to surrender the minute he hears he's losing access to a mountain of entertainment. Say dasvidaniya to all six seasons of iCarly, Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles, and the jewel of the Paramount Empire, The Love Guru, featuring yours truly as a hockey announcer, a subject I know nothing about. No idea what I was saying. And you know what? If this war doesn't stop immediately, I'm going to extend the sanctions on the Love Guru to include every nation on Earth. That's right. No one gets to see this movie that I am very proud of until the war ends. And not just this war, all wars. No, I must for peace. I'm going to throw Bewitched in there, too. I don't know who made that one, but it's time they pull that from the Russian market and my IMDb page. All this economic pain has prompted Russia to say, right back at you, comrade. Because yesterday, Russia announced that they're hitting Biden, Blinken, and other top U.S. officials with sanctions. Oh, that's adorable. They're doing their own sanctions. It's like when you give your kid a bubble lawnmower, and they're like, I'm a world power, too. And you sure are, buddy. You're doing a great job. These sanctions work the same way as ours do. So for anyone on the list, any assets they hold in Russia will be frozen and they are prohibited from entering the country, which would be a threat if anyone wanted to go to Russia right now. Not a lot of people traveling to spring break in Yakutsk. Now, the number one on the sanction list is President Biden, sort of, because the Russians sanctioned Joseph Robinette Biden, which sounds like the president, but as Jen Psaki explained,
I would first note that President Biden is a junior, so they may have sanctioned his dad. May he rest in peace.
Gotcha there, Jack. No, that's, please. Joseph Robinette Biden is my dad. I'm little Junior Mint, named after my pops, Joseph Robinette Biden Sr. He was named after his pops, Joseph Robinette Biden, the prequel. Family was so poor, we could only afford one name. Also shared one pair of pants and three shoes we kept on rotation. Tough to get around town, we cleaned up the three-legged race. Now, I'm serious, folks. We want all kinds of taffy. Now, right... Right now, Russia is mainly targeting political figures, but that might change. Their foreign ministry announced that it intends to sanction more U.S. officials, military leaders, lawmakers, and members of the media who are critical of the country. Members of the media who are critical of Russia? Why, that's me. I better get a sanction. I'm going to be so mad if John Oliver gets banned from Russia and I don't. He only criticizes Putin once a week. We shouldn't even be in the same sanction category. He gets sanctioned every year. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Meanwhile. Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Folks, I spend so much of my time right over there, Sifting through the day's biggest stories, hand-selecting only the finest, most perfectly aged Burmese news teak, then carefully carving and shaping it into a refined Buddha depicted in the calling the earth to witness gesture with characteristic circular patterns on the robe, shins, and knees, of course, which I then carefully gild with the most topical gold leaf. Then I harvest the sap of a Usitata tree to apply the delicate Tai-O lacquer and finally hand-decorate it with the white glass inlays to create for you the glorious Amarapura period sculpture that is my monologue. But sometimes, folks, I wash up on a Galveston beach naked on a raft of gas cans after escaping from a fight club in international waters. Then, still deranged on a cocktail of mescaline and cough syrup, I steal a cinder block from under a stripped 87 Ford Taurus and chip away at it with a broken umbrella handle. I scavenge from a Goodwill dumpster until it vaguely resembles the hungering wolf that scratches at the door of my dreams and present to you the tormented dread effigy of news that is my segment.
Meanwhile.
Right there. That is like a sorbet for the mind. Meanwhile. In Massachusetts, JetBlue passengers were left waiting on their plane after the JetBlue airport crew had left for the night. They sat on the tarmac a while, then the pilot said, "I have something embarrassing to tell you guys," adding, "I used to fly for Spirit." Meanwhile, the Eiffel Tower is even more of an Eiffel because it grew by nearly 20 feet on Tuesday after engineers hoisted a new communications antenna at the very top by using a helicopter to lower the antenna into place. Parisians wondered at the additions, thousands gathered below to look on and exclaim, "Eh." Meanwhile, we have yet another rare.
Meanwhile,
update! Last year, we here at Meanwhile Industries brought you the story of a New Zealand couple who were believed to have found the world's largest potato. Jim, do we have a picture of that potato? Oh, my God. Jimmy, can you make it less scary? Thank you. Well, the latest twist is not good for the potato, because this week, Guinness World Records ruled that the giant potato is not, in fact, a potato, but something called a gourd tuber. Really? Because when I look at this abomination, I want to scream, "There is no gourd." Meanwhile, the Rolling Stones just announced a 60th anniversary European tour, which they are calling 60. Also, in honor of their incredibly long career, they are renaming themselves the Kidney Stones. Meanwhile, take a drink of water. Quality jokes. Meanwhile, the American Kennel Club just published their list of the most popular dog breeds. And for the 31st year in a row, Labs are number one. Sure, yeah. Yeah. Reached for comment, a lab said, "Bacon?" Out, salt, ball, bacon? Meanwhile, squirrel? Cruise line Virgin Voyages has launched a new adults-only ship with slightly less usual offerings, like a tattoo parlor. Because there's no higher quality tattoo than one administered on open water. "Yes, was supposed to be a skull, but we're in some pretty big swells, so I got, I'm gonna say, a gourd tuber with dentures." Gourd! To make it talk. Meanwhile, Dolly Parton has declined her Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination. That's not necessary, Dolly. You can just say, "I don't want to go to Cleveland." We'll be right back with Michael Bublé.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but
amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right. We're on video this season, everybody. So whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Brave the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest this evening is a renowned singer-songwriter who has sold over 65 million records and won 4 Grammys. His new album is called Higher. Please welcome Michael Bublé. Lovely to have you on.
Lovely to be had.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Now you've been lighting up the charts, thrilling people for 20 years, and of songs, many of which are the American standards. You love the American standard songbook.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So how did you first, like, how old were you? You became aware of these classic songs.
Weirdly, I was probably four or five years old. And I think there was infiltration with Christmas. Weirdly,
I know crossover, people, like your Bing Crosby.
Well,
your
yeah,
Mackie
I
Cole
think that
kind
of thing. There was always Bing Crosby was playing through the house, and I think it was an introduction to jazz, to the incredible musicianship, mm-hmm. to great songs, great melodies, great lyrics. Very, very Catholic upbringing. So
oh yeah, yeah, was, yeah. Me too. Was, yeah, it
was,
sure.
It was in our house a lot. And it meant a lot to me.
And Saint I think that Crosby, was, Saint Bing.
Saint Bing. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, blah 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 blah.
So it was interesting. It's weird. It's embarrassing a little bit for me to say that. But,
What do you mean? Well, I mean
it's weird. Most people, when you say like, you know, so Sting, where did you get your music? He doesn't say like, yeah, it was Christmas. You know.
Yeah, but David Bowie did a duet with Bing.
Completely true, yes.
Okay.
But it was my introduction to jazz.
I understand your grandfather helped get you into music clubs. Like, get you gigs, but also, like, smuggle you into music clubs at a young age.
It's very weird. Well, I come from a family. My father, we come from a family of commercial fishermen and plumbers. That's not exactly the easiest way to have nepotism when it comes to the business.
Both work with water.
So my grandfather would sneak me. I was 16. And he knew this is what my love was. I mean, I loved it. I knew from an early age this is what I wanted to be. And so he would go to the nightclubs, and he'd you know, work in their clubs in the daytime, fixing hot water heaters or toilets or whatever. And then he would go, and he'd bribe me in, basically.
How? Say,
well, he'd say, listen, the kid is a great singer. Let him get up there with your band.
And no, not just get you into the club. He'd get you on stage.
Oh, on stage.
He'd, like,
absolutely.
Pay him off with a toilet?
Yes. I mean, it sounds unbelievable, but it's true.
You gotta love grandpa.
Yeah, so he just loved me so much, and he believed in me so much that he would literally say to them, if you let the kid up on stage with your band, I will go and fix your... what do they call them? They call them garburators in Canada, but in... Garbage disposal systems in their kitchens and stuff. So this is what we would do, literally. He would go and just basically get me into clubs doing that. And then once I got into the clubs, I would work.
You got to pay it forward. Okay. You got to pay it forward for your grandchildren to say, I'll come sing at your wedding, but you got to let my grandson install a toilet. The new album, Higher, has just come out. First album in 3 years.
Yeah.
And as you look back at all the albums you've done, not being a musician myself, but as you look back at all the albums you've done, I imagine each one to you is like, oh, that point in my life, I can see what was going on in my life reflected in that album.
Absolutely.
What is being reflected in this album in your life? What are you saying about who you are as an artist in this one?
God, that's a heavy question.
That's what I do.
Yeah. I am so grateful that my son and my family's okay and healthy. We've all gone through a ton. No one gets through this life without dealing with struggles and pain and all of that. And for me, I think for the first time in years, I think I'm alive. I think I'm breathing. And if you can't hear or feel the joy in that record of how I feel in my life, then you never will. This is an expression of love. It really is. It's a love note to the world.
We have to take a quick break, but stick around. When we come back, I will ask Michael about his youth as a commercial fisherman.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Now, this is something I'm mildly jealous of here. One of the albums here, one of the songs on this track is My Valentine, which is a Paul McCartney song.
Yeah.
And you managed to get Paul McCartney to produce that song.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
For your album. How does one get Paul McCartney to produce? Just call him up. What do you do?
His manager sent my manager a note from Paul saying, we hear you're doing this record. We think you do a great job covering the song. It's a great, you know, it's a song that means a lot to him. Mm-hmm. And I wrote back and said, would you produce it? And then I went with my friend Nicholas Jacobson Larson, who's an incredible arranger, and we arranged this little demo, this little kind of, and sent it to Sir Paul. And I sent it to him with my phone number, never thinking I would ever get a call. And I was driving on Sunset in LA, and the phone rang from a 44 number, and I said, hello. And this beautiful voice said, hi, it's Paul Mack. And I panicked. And I said, I swear to God, I said, it's Mickey Boobs.
There you go.
Yeah.
There
and
go.
Yeah, and I, yeah. And I asked him, I said, I never want to put you on the spot, but I said, I know that you could take good and turn it into great. And I just think he's one of the greatest. I know I'm alone when I, how many people sure. understand
Where
how talented he is?
Where do you find the courage?
Yeah.
Where do you find the courage to compliment Paul McCartney's musicianship?
Yeah, exactly. No, I just said to him, listen, you know, he told me the story of the song and how much it meant to him personally.
Did he write it for Linda?
He wrote it for his wife now. Okay. And they were on a holiday and he told me that it was a rainy day and she came behind him. He was sitting at the piano and she said, sweetheart, what if it rains, you know? Who cares? We have each other. And he said he wrote the song very quickly. And I thought it was just such a beautiful love story. And so we met in New York and he's incredible. I mean, thank God I didn't watch the Let It Be, the documentary.
Yeah.
Because I was already nervous and I would have just.
Since?
I've seen it, yes. Well, I watched it after. He's unreal.
Family of commercial fishermen. You worked with them, right? You actually did commercial. Like, that was one of the jobs you did.
I did.
That's a hard job,
yeah,
man.
13 to 21. Yeah, I'd go back and forth in the summers and work on the seine boat.
What kind of boat?
It was a seine boat. It was about an 80-foot purse seiner. Mm-hmm. So,
what are you catching?
A salmon.
Okay.
Salmon up and down the coast from, say, Vancouver Island to Alaska.
Well, the reason I'm interested in this is because, you know, over the past year or so, sea shanties have made a comeback. And, you know, have you heard people have been singing sea shanties on TikTok and stuff like that? And
okay.
I love a good sea shanty. I was way ahead on this one. And seriously. And they're my speed. And you worked on the salty, briny deep out there as a commercial fisherman, and you're Canadian. And I was wondering if you know the Stan Rogers sea shanty classic. He's a Canadian folk singer, no longer with us, unfortunately.
Okay.
Called Barrett's Privateers, about these Canadian pirates. Do you know this song?
Arr, me matey, yes, I
you
think
do?
So.
Think so?
I think
if
I've heard
If I started
it,
it, would you jump in?
To sing it with you?
Yes.
Yes, of course I
John,
would.
John, I'm gonna give it a shot. Can you give me a D, you know me?
Oh, the year was 1778. How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. When a letter of marque came from the king to the scummiest vessel I've ever seen. Oh, damn them all. I was told I'd cruise the sea for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. But I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers.
Oh, that's
well,
good.
Sid Barrett cried the town. How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. For 20 brave men, all fishermen who would make for him the Antelope's crew. Oh, damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the sea for American gold. We'd fire no gun, shed no tears. But I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers.
An honor, Michael Bublé.
Up next, Rose Matafea. Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. My next guest is a comedian and an actor who created, wrote, and stars in the series Starstruck.
What's this? This is your handwriting. Oh, what are you doing?
No, no, no. No, do not read this.
Why did you send me a letter?
Oh. Okay. So I may have sent a few letters to people when I thought I was leaving the country forever.
And what sort of emotional space were you in at the time? Not a great one.
Please welcome to The Late Show, Rose Matafeo. So nice to have you here.
So lovely to be here.
Now, I understand this is your first American late night interview.
It is. It is. It's
We're
a pleasure.
Honored. Thanks so much for joining us here.
I can't believe. Why am I here? How
because
am I here?
Because you're really funny. That's why you're here.
Stop it.
Now, you're from New Zealand, for the people out there who don't know.
What?
And yes, exactly. It's not a big place. I've been several times.
Yeah,
absolutely,
you knocked it out in a week, didn't you?
I love it there.
You love it?
I love it there. I go back in a minute.
Oh, would you?
Did
a nice time?
Here's the thing, is that do all the celebrities in New Zealand know each other? Like, do you hang out? I went to Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister's house.
Yeah.
And I went there for a little grill in the backyard.
And
Lord was there,
of course.
Because
as you do.
They all know each other. Do you all know each other now?
Problem is I don't want to add to the stereotype that New Zealand is so small that everyone knows each other. But yeah, it is. Like, Jacinda, because I know Jacinda through, she was the Culture and Arts Minister of New Zealand, and she used to do, I do improv comedy.
Improv comedy?
Yeah, I don't want to out myself.
Do your parents know?
No, I can never tell them. Mm-hmm. She came to our shows and she did like monologues and stuff.
She would get up. Do a monologue before you guys would do a set as like an inspiration?
I don't know what her advisors would, what was she doing?
Wait, as Prime Minister
herself.
Or as Minister of...
As Prime Minister. It was wild. You want a Prime Minister who yes ands. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
We need better rulers over here.
Yeah.
That's
imagine.
Really lovely. So you started off, was it Auckland?
Auckland. I grew up there. I did stand-up comedy. I started when I was 15, which seems illegal.
Sure.
Is there
drinking in these bars?
I love that. Is there a drink? I worked in a comedy club, like behind the bar, like restocking stuff.
Scene like there? Is it hard to break in?
Not particularly. I was one of five female comedians at the time.
In the country?
In the country in 2008 when I was about 15 years old. So, yeah, it's fine. It's good. Did you like New Zealand?
Well, I love New Zealand.
Do you want to... I always feel like a really weird auntie when someone's like, been to New Zealand.
Did
they put out the nice bed linen
twice.
Or something?
I've been twice. I would go back in a minute.
Oh, my God. I feel
we were going to go... I'd love it in every way. I've been fishing. You know what I did? I did the thing, your national activity there. The bungee jump.
The bungee jump. Yes.
Have you done that?
Yes, in a sense that I haven't, but I nearly did. I went because which one did you do? Did you do the one?
The bridge.
Yeah. Oh my god.
On the gorge there. Yeah.
Terrific. It's just like a little shack that's like hanging by a wire in the middle of a gorge.
And you.
You did it right.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It's horrific.
I'm still waiting for it to feel like a good idea.
You're still waiting to come back up. I was being filmed for something.
That's the thing. I would never have done it unless there was a camera pointed at me, because then it kind of lobotomizes me when a camera, because I know I need it for the shot.
You do anything for the anything
for the
birds,
joke.
You know, anything for the. I nearly did it. I backed out.
With a camera pointed at you?
With a camera pointed at my head. Because the people who run it, they put you in the dentist chair, like you to strap you in to the bungee.
I lay down.
You lay down. You got the full service.
I think they had to calm me.
Did you have to do the thing where they were like, all right, this is key. If you want to come back up the right way up, no, they don't go, we're not going to bring you back up. We're going to leave you down there. No, you have to pull a strap at your feet, towards your feet.
No, they lowered me down into a raft.
Really?
Yeah.
How dignified. That's amazing.
A little bit, but I was also being lowered down. I felt like, a hog they had hung up after slaughter.
I got to the edge of it, yeah. And the guy was like, don't look down. And I'm like, how is an experience supposed to be good when you're not supposed to fully participate in it, right?
Oh, I know what you mean, exactly.
It's bizarre. So he's like, just look out. And then I got to the edge and he was like, he said the worst thing you could possibly say. He just said, you can't turn back now. Oh. And I was like, yes, I can. And I made him unstrap me. I made the girl who worked there put on my jumper and she jumped off instead. And she died. No. oh my God. So, dodged a bullet.
There you go. Let's talk about Starstruck.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Yeah, contextualize me for the love of God,
okay,
because
so
no one knows who I am.
This is a show on HBO Max
that
you wrote, you created, you star in.
Yeah.
It's, people love it. It's very funny. It's a rom-com.
It's a rom-com.
What inspired you? Like, did you love the romantic comedies?
I was obsessed. I was a teenager obsessed with romantic comedies. There was a point in my life when I was 17 years old where I would watch Bridget Jones's Diary every night before bed. laugh through the tears. I would skip to the good bits every night. It was bad. I think it gave me a very strange, unrealistic expectation of what love would be when I grew up. Mm-hmm. But it did inspire me to write a rom-com when I eventually got to legal age. I was obsessed with rom-coms. And, when it came to writing something that I could be in, I was like, yeah, I'm going to write myself into... flirting with a stranger or something. I don't know. It's pathetic, though, writing your own rom-com. It's really sad because you're flirting with yourself when you're writing it. Do you know what I mean? Because you're writing a script, you're like, and then I say this, ha, 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 ha. And then he's like, that's so funny, ha, 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 ha. And you're like, what is this? This is so gross.
What's grosser, not getting it right or actually seducing yourself?
Yeah. It went a bit too far sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Please watch it. I'm so bad at promo. Yeah, please.
Please watch it. We'll get to that at the end.
Yeah.
I got to ask you one thing. Back to New Zealand for a second. Your national dessert is something called a pavlova.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you guys know of that here?
I know what a pavlova is.
Yeah, yeah.
Want to explain what a pavlova is?
It's a dessert. A pavlova is like a meringue dessert. We named it after Anna Pavlova. Okay. This is, you're pulling out the big guns here. This is my nan, Jessie. So, okay, you do it or look closer at that dessert. This was when we came out of lockdown, and she made a COVID-19 themed
C-19.
Look how proud she is. Look at that little face.
Yeah.
And it was delicious as well.
What is it with you? Why do you all so into the meringue?
I don't know. It's a national thing. I don't actually like pavlova that much.
Crunchy sweet egg.
It's crunchy sweet egg. Yeah, it's surprising they didn't go with that name for the dessert.
Crunchy sweet egg.
Crunchy sweet egg. Yeah, but that's my name. She's my namesake in the show.
Now I legally have to ask anybody who's from New Zealand.
Yeah.
If they're Lord of the Rings fans.
I hoped you would ask, because honestly, I am, Stephen. I'm so glad that you're as much of a nerd. You're much more of a nerd, but as a child... Sorry, I'm so sorry.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
But
you
I feel like...
You needn't apologize. I take it.
It's
a crown I wear.
Nerd to nerd, we can talk. I used to tape my ears to look like elf ears and would get my hair stuck in the tape, so I would, cut my own hair to get it out of it. I did every hobbit name generator on the internet, every elf name generator on the... I'm Goldie Overhill of No Bottle. That's my hobbit
overhill of no bottle.
I was obsessed. I was so obsessed. I love The Hobbit because I was very much of the age, when I was about 9 or 10, I read it. And I was so obsessed with The Hobbit. One day I was reading The Hobbit while I was eating potato chips, as one does. And I remember I marked one of the pages with the grease from the potato chip. Why am I telling this on this show? That's
on
really
purpose?
Weird. No, by accident. And I was so bereft, I wrote a contract to myself that I would never eat that flavor of chip again in my life. And I never did. To the extent, as an adult, I saw those chips at a party and I was like, they have to leave. Like,
it was like seeing eggs. Remember, I asked what flavor it was?
It was like a baked potato flavored chip called The Works. It's discontinued now. Something in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no.
The bottom out of the market.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I was obsessed with Lord of the Rings.
Is there any sense of like, I'm from New Zealand, can I really be a fan of Lord of the Rings? Or yeah. Is it like being a fan of The Wizard of Oz when you're from Kansas?
Exactly. Well, I know there's some sort of cringe, but it came at the perfect time for me to be obsessed with it. I had such a crush on Legolas and Arwen at the same time.
Sure. Get in line.
Exactly. Stop it.
Yeah,
it
well, beautiful. I got to meet those people.
Did you?
It's very hard to look at them.
Are you kidding?
No, I do a TV show and they come on and they sit there.
What were they like? How tall were they? How tall were they?
Not as tall as you think.
Really?
No one in show business is.
That's... How tall are you?
You're taller than I thought.
Am I?
Yeah.
I used to...
Can I see the shoes?
Yeah. They're
not too much. Not too much.
I used to have a celebrity height chart.
You had a celebrity height chart? Yeah. Where did you get this?
No, I made it.
That's the sort of thing that when the investigators come in, they go, yeah, this is the murderer. This is the murderer. She was looking for a long thigh bone.
That checks out. No, when I was a teenager, I was quite self-conscious about my height. And so what I would do is in my diary, I collected, celebrity heights and the difference in centimetres for them to me. So when maybe one day I met them, I wouldn't be, get a surprise.
Sure.
I'll add you if you want.
5'11"? I'm 5'11".
Oh, me too.
How's that stack up?
It's really good.
Is it a good one?
I think similar. I think Nicole Kidman and Cameron Diaz, maybe, similar.
We're very similar. Yeah. We're very similar. Lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for being here. Season 2 of Starstruck premieres March 24th on HBO Max. It's Rose Matafeo, everybody.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
CBS Sunday, after the Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after The Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.